How's it going, guys?
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
So,
how are you?
How's it going? This is
Pocket Full of Quarters.
Yeah, it is.
Woo!
Yeah, podcasting more regularly. It's getting there.
School's a bitch.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I hate economics. I really do.
Yeah.
If you can avoid that class in college, kids, do it. Just avoid it like the plague.
Yeah. What he said. Okay, but yeah. So we got a lot to talk about today.
It's been like a week and a half since our last podcast.
Yeah, so we got quite a lot.
Haven't watched as much Cake Boss, so I should be okay.
Okay. What was the word you said a bunch last time?
Boom.
Okay.
I said boom a lot on the last podcast, yeah. And I'm going to try to avoid that.
Yeah, hopefully,
and sound kind of professional.
Maybe. We're gonna go maybe.
We might follow podcast beyond and throw in a hypothetical abortion here or there, but that's it.
Okay.
Alright, we'll make it classy.
Alright, we might be able to make that work. Okay. But yeah, so here we go. We've got some
editing, that'll be interesting.
That's gonna be
fun. Can't
be
slow again though.
No, it can't. We'll do something. Make it
He just speeds it up. It's cute.
Yeah, it'll be cute.
All right, okay. So this is actually just released. It's a story on the next Battlefield game. It's coming next year. And guess what?
Next gen.
EA has confirmed that a new Battlefield game will be released next year. During an earnings call, they said, "We're excited to show you guys more detail on that coming soon."
Hashtag next gen.
Hashtag E3.
Yeah. Sorry, my computer just like lagged a little bit, so it looked like the recording was just spazzing the fuck out.
Yay, awkward silences. So yeah, Battlefield 4, you heard it here first, folks.
Folks. Did you just say folks?
I said folks. What's wrong with folks?
Folks? I've never met anybody who's pronounced the L so much. Folks.
Well, otherwise it's folks, and folks are the same thing. It's spelled the same.
Right, I've just never heard someone actually pronounce the L.
I don't know,
L
I'm trying to be professional here.
It's
you're bringing me down,
it's
man.
It's not a matter of professionalism.
Why you got to bring me down, man? Why you got to bring me down?
Music.
Don't tread on me!
okay.
Family Guy. That we're throwing that in at the end of the episode there.
Oh sweet! I'm
yes.
excited. Okay.
Okay.
Good, good
I'm thing. Making note of that.
All right.
Noted.
We're gonna forget.
We're gonna.
okay.
So yeah, be prepared to blow up buildings.
And hopefully it'll be better.
It'll be better than Call of Duty because it's Battlefield.
Man. Yeah, but hopefully it'll be better than Battlefield 3.
I like Battlefield 3. I played it on a gaming PC.
That's the thing. Battlefield 3 on a PC is fantastic.
Oh, so good. So good.
I do not think Battlefield 3 should be played on a console.
It shouldn't.
Because it plays on a console like it's a fucking PC, and I'm not okay with it.
Yeah.
It needs to feel different. It's like there was a Counter-Strike game that was released for consoles.
Counter-Strike Go?
Yeah.
I think it was CSGO.
Some shit like that. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. I mean,
it was alright.
It was okay, but it felt more like a console. But I need that distinction.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe on a next-gen console, they can really deliver.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I love the Battlefield franchise more than the Call of Duty franchise, because you actually have to be good at shooting things.
Yeah, Battlefield's cool.
Yeah, plus, you know, like, everything takes, like, the gravity takes an effect and everything. Is your eye okay?
Yeah, I actually have a hole in my right retina, and my eye's been bothering me a lot.
Breaking news, folks, Josh...
I'm not going blind.
...is going blind.
I'm not going blind, not yet.
And he might have AIDS.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that's recent development. Surgeon General just reported
hole
that.
Hole in eye equals AIDS.
Yeah. AIDS rips out your eyes.
I told you to lay off those eye drugs that you always do.
You know people actually do acid? Can do acid like that?
Are you serious?
Yeah. You put it in like eye drop form in that consistency and you can actually do acid in your eyeballs.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I've read stories.
That does not sound fun.
Yes. Sounds fucking awful, but you know what? The high that you get off of it is probably fucking intense.
Okay, I can see that.
You know what I mean? Because it goes like directly to your occipital lobe. So,
right, right.
So
okay.
You probably hallucinate a lot quicker.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot more intensely. Anyway.
We don't condone the use of drugs, folks.
No, we don't. And this is not about drugs. So we're gonna move on to
we're
going to
move on.
Thing.
So yeah, Battlefield coming next year. Get excited. Get ready to aim slightly above where you want the bullets to hit.
Yeah.
Speaking of games that involve shooting, Fuse, Insomniac's latest game, is their first multi-platform title, is being pushed. That's right. It was previously supposed to come out in March, and with March being so full, you know, the publisher decided, you know what, let's just push it to quarter one of 2014. So it's going to come out sometime in between, you know, April 1st and June 30th of this year. And it'll be a good game. It's that game with that really stupid box art.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
It was previously called Overstrike.
Okay. That's fucking depressing that's how I got that. It's
yeah,
the game with the shitty...
We're looking at the box art right now. It looks like they just accidentally cropped off their heads. Because I see chins.
Right. It looks so... It's so bad.
It's awful.
It's like a Tarantino movie cover, except with no heads. The chins. Is this game about chins? Is the Crimson Chin in this game?
In Cincinnati.
Does gameplay take place in Cincinnati?
Cleft the Boy Chin Wonder?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, fantastic. So yeah, that's the information on Fuse. Get excited. Get ready.
We're gonna move to that last.
We're gonna move that. Second to last.
Second to last. Yeah.
Alright, this one I'm really happy about. The new Splinter Cell game, Splinter Cell Blacklist, they're bringing on a new mode. It's called Perfectionist Difficulty. What this means is that literally enemies, you cannot attack a melee. Blah 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 blah. You cannot melee an enemy when you're facing like they're in front of them. If you're trying to hit them and they're facing you, you can't do it. They block it. Not only that, Sam's goggles don't see through walls, and mark and execute will not work.
That's fucking awesome.
You will have to play this game stealth.
So yeah, okay. So that brings you back to original Splinter Cell.
Yeah, and it's going to be that mode is what I'm going to play through it on the second time. I'm getting this game day one.
Oh yeah, no, this game's going to be fucking amazing.
I cannot
wait. Yeah, I mean that's really, I think that's an amazing thing to have because they've
come out and said this mode is going to be extremely difficult.
Right. We talked about this on one of our more recent podcasts about how, like, old Splinter Cell fans are going to be able to enjoy this game, and mm-hmm. new, like, conviction-style Splinter Cell fans will be able to enjoy this game. And this story just solidified that, because now people who really want to play it like it's fucking Chaos Theory
mm-hmm.
are going to be able to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now we know for sure that they're like, okay, this is in the game. So if you want to treat it like that, you will be able to... The game mm-hmm. will reflect that type of...
Because that's one thing that really upset me in Conviction is I could see through walls and everything.
Well, I mean, the thing that I didn't like about Conviction was the fact that it... Honestly, it just felt way too fucking easy. You could go Rambo on people so easy.
You could.
You know what I mean? And I really... That was a huge turnoff to me. However, I really, really dug the game because the storytelling in it, like
so cool.
The presentation of it was great, and the movement of it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. With like those cutscenes that were taking place in the environment,
right? Exactly,
like, on like a projector type. Oh, this is so cool.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, fuck the opening scene, Conviction, when you're beating the shit out of that guy in the bathroom. That's the opening scene, right?
That's like 30 seconds in.
Right?
Know?
Yeah, but seriously, that scene's gorgeous because
mm-hmm.
it just sets the tone for the whole game. It's
I'm excited for it. One thing I will say, though, I don't know if you remember this, back when Conviction was being created the first time, when it was going to be, like, a social stealth aspect to it, where if you wanted to hide, you'd, like, put up your hood. It was going to be very, like, modern-day kind of Assassin's Creed blending.
Right, right.
I was really excited for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I hope that they can kind of get back to that one day and really...
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a Splinter Cell game. I just want to see
a
modern-day...
Yeah, that type of thing.
...ass-kickery game.
Yeah, that'd definitely be cool. No doubt about that.
Because that would make me really happy.
Yeah.
So yeah, Splinter Cell Blacklist coming out in March. Get ready. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, okay. So this one's kind of odd to even hear about right now. But Prince of Persia franchise is going to it's going to be paused.
It's going to be put on hold. No big deal.
Right. It just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I've never really
Well, the kicker is there was a story that came out about a year ago this time.
Okay.
It was a screenshot that was released. It looked like a new Prince of Persia game with, like, the character design and everything that was happening. And a few, like, screen grabs of, like, mocap and everything else.
Okay.
It looked very Prince of Persia, like they were going to reboot it, new hero.
Okay, like, they're
remaking. But it's been clarified that they're putting it on pause right now, and that game, we're actually, I'm showing Josh an image right now, I'll see if we can't put it in the comment or something below. But do you see what I mean? How it's very kind of right in that time.
Oh, yeah, I totally remember that. Yeah.
Really old story.
Yeah.
That screenshot that was leaked was not, according to Ubisoft, a Prince of Persia reboot. It's a completely something else that they're doing, which is rumored to be Project Osiris right now.
Okay.
So we will probably find out more on that right around E3.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoyed the PS2 Prince of Persia.
I was never a huge Prince of Persia fan.
I had played the original on like a friend's system, like because I think the original was like on a Super Nintendo or something like that. It was
the original Prince.
Yeah, that was the 2D was SNES. SNES. But
what are you, 12?
Maybe. But dude, I'd be a fucking genius if I was 12 and junior at a university.
I would.
It'd be amazing.
I would not talk to you.
Why? That's mean.
Because you're 12. You're probably living in a dorm and not in an apartment. You're probably in way better classes than I am because you're freaking 12 and at college.
Yeah, I guess.
And you'd be busy
being Mr. Genius.
Mr.
Pants.
Genius Nerd with your Nerd Factory nerds in the library.
In the library. But okay. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the original and I enjoyed the PS2 version.
Mm-hmm.
And Warrior Within sucked. And
that's the only one I played.
Yeah, you know what?
That's probably why I don't like this. That's a problem
because the Warrior Within sucked dicks.
How was Two Thrones?
Two Thrones was not bad. I really dug the way that they wrapped up Two Thrones because, like, when you find out that when you do the whole Dark Prince thing, when you establish those alter egos, you're like, fuck yeah, this is cool. It does the whole thing like in a movie, like when someone finds out they got that darker side. It's like, you know, when Spider-Man becomes the symbiote Spider-Man.
There's a 20-minute evil dance emo goth scene.
No, not that shitty trilogy.
Oh, man.
Like the comic books, when he's like, yes, fucking awesome, I got power now, it's great. And then you're like, holy shit, this is taking over me. This is actually a constant struggle between me and my other self. I need to...
Okay.
You know what I mean? Cool. But they wrapped it up really nice. Like, Two Thrones ends, and it ends with, let me tell you a tale. It's like, I think the prince says, let me tell you a tale like none that you've ever heard. And then the screen, like, goes out from them, from the two of them, the prince and the princess, standing on the top of this, like, golden thing, and it goes out into the woods, and then it shows the opening to the PS2 Prince of Persia, where it's you running through the woods, catching up to your army and all that stuff. So it sets it up for like a circle, even though it's not. It's just him telling the story. So it's not like you get to like it's not like oh fourth one you're just gonna relive the original. You know what I mean? It's
right,
like,
right, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was really well done.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I dug it. But yeah, Warrior Within sucked it.
I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah.
Like when that giant beast thing was chasing you because it was a monster.
Oh yeah, and if you fucked up once, you were dead, and then you had to start all the way from the beginning again.
Yep.
It's great.
Hated it.
I just got a great idea.
What?
We should do, like, a top 10 worst games podcast, so we can just bitch the whole time.
I'd be okay with that. And then a top 10 top 10 best.
Yeah, we should do
and
that.
And we could just praise everything, and then just rip everything apart.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be fun.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna write that in my pen.
I'm gonna type it.
I'm gonna type it. It sounds like I'm rubbing lotion, and you're just...
I hit G.
This is us doing this. Okay.
We're trying to levels to the show.
Yeah.
The show is like an onion. It has layers. I don't know where I'm going with that. I just haven't watched Shrek in a long time.
Yeah, that's
where that comes from.
It's a good
All right.
Shrek quote. Okay.
Speaking
of
Disney.
Wow.
Wait. DreamWorks did Shrek, not Disney.
Man, that would have been a great segue.
That would have been so good.
That would have been a great segue. Okay, well...
Speaking of...
Of not...
Disney. Yeah. Anyway, we're going on to some Disney news now. Just really quick. The studio that brought you Epic Mickey and Epic Mickey the Power of Two, Junction Point, has closed. Okay. I didn't like those games. Epic Mickey was a waste of potential. I did not like the way it handled. The camera was really janky.
Didn't that game get, like, unreal reviews, though?
Yeah.
Didn't people, like, eat that shit
it's
up?
It's either you loved it or you hated it. Right. There was no
middle. Right, I felt like it was really lacking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like it was, like, trying to be great, but it
could've... It had so much potential. Right. It really did.
I agree completely.
And it just... That game should have been an Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 game and not a Wii game.
Yeah, it could have been really good.
So...
Okay.
But sadly, let's be serious here for a second.
Yeah.
It's a shame that, because Epic Mickey the Power 2 is really good. And it's a shame that a studio with this kind of talent has been shut down. So, you know, our hearts go out with those who have been affected by this, and we're sure that these people won't have any problems finding jobs in the near future.
Yeah, they shouldn't. I mean, it's a Disney affiliated studio.
Yeah.
So there's those people.
And Disney owns everything nowadays.
Right. I mean, I hope those people get work though, because again, like Epic Mickey had a lot of room for improvement, but I mean, it was
well, they fixed
good.
A lot of that stuff with Epic Mickey too.
Yeah,
they really did.
Yeah, exactly. So you know.
So, again...
Hearts go out to you, people.
I can't wait to see what you all work on next, because you're all very talented.
Yeah. Okay, next little piece of news.
Speaking of someone who's talented...
Corbell? Okay.
I believe it's pronounced Corbell.
Okay.
Don't cite me on that, though.
Yes.
I am human, and I may pronounce it wrong.
Yes. The composer to Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, which I'm not even sure if that was even finished.
We don't know.
We do not know
if it was finished.
Right. So we don't know the state that Beyond Two Souls might be in, but he, the composer, Norman Corbell, passed away.
Mm-hmm. After battling pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, which is really sad because...
Yeah, that man was... He had won multiple awards for his work on Heavy Rain.
Oh, yeah.
He was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, that game would be shit without the music, honestly.
Well, most games would. If you don't have the right music to tie everything in...
I agree, but, like, Heavy Rain in particular, because that game goes through so many different, like, emotions, mm-hmm. like, there's so much that has to be reflected in little bits... of, you know, of composition, and I feel like he did a fantastic job with that, especially because, you know, Heavy Rain's got, like, what, 9 different endings or whatever? So, like...
I still haven't seen all of them. I should just YouTube it.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. They're interesting.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, each little bit, you know what I mean, each little decision that you make, you know, is reflected not only in the game and the gameplay and the future of your game, but also in the sound, you know, that comes through it. It really just instills the emotion that the player is going to get, you know, when they associate, you know, soaring violins with, like, a, you know, a beautiful moment or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, that sucks. I really hope that Beyond Two Souls has been finished,
because
mm-hmm. I would love to hear his work in Beyond Two Souls, because...
Well, he's going to get, you know, probably going to get... this game is dedicated to...
Yeah, probably. And I really, really hope so, because... I mean, he did such great work with Heavy Rain, and Beyond Two Souls is supposed to be even more in-depth.
Mm-hmm.
And if the depth of your story gets larger, the depth of the music gets wider. And
right.
I think he probably has done a great job with it. I really hope they keep... If the game isn't finished, I really hope they keep some of the stuff that he's done.
I don't see why they would get rid of it. I really
right,
don't.
Right.
So our hearts go out with his family and friends
right.
as they are reeling from this loss.
Yep, and thank you for your work on Heavy Rain.
Yeah, thank you, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah.
Okay, this... I know what's going on here. It's an ad, but I know what's happening. Sony is going to let Microsoft announce first for next gen.
Can we talk about this already?
I don't think so.
Did we talk about it on the one that got fucked? I think we might have talked about it then.
I think we did.
Okay, yeah. Well, in any case, Sony's going to let...
We'll go quick just in case.
Yeah, Sony's going to let Microsoft do their announcements first.
Because they don't want Microsoft to steal any of their ideas, but let's be serious here. They're this late in the development of the console.
Right, there's no fucking way they could even possibly do that.
No, it's done.
Yeah.
So it's them saying, okay, we just need to make sure we say everything correct that we need to say. Say, fuck off Microsoft.
Right.
We got this.
Right, which is a shame because, I mean, I feel personally that Microsoft's panels at the last couple of E3s have been the best panel.
Did you not see Ubisoft's panel last year? That one blew everything out of the water.
Right, but I mean, like, of Sony, Microsoft, and
Nintendo. I think Sony won last year.
Really?
Really. Of the big three. Because Nintendo was a giant letdown.
Oh, yeah, no, I wish we were podcasting then, because we would have had like 12 episodes
to
say.
Dude, we have to do E3 special.
Yes, we're going to do an E3 special.
No, we're doing multiple E3 specials, because we need to do one after each conference.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Because if I'm getting my dates correctly, I will be free, because will be in Spain.
He's referencing his girlfriend, since you can't know the context of our lives and the fact that she's in the room.
She doesn't want to be part of the show.
I don't know. In any case, Microsoft has always had really good, really great panels. I don't think Sony needs to wait for them to do it. I think this is bullshit, because they have to know that there's no way.
Honestly, here's what's going to happen. I think Microsoft's going to announce a month before E3.
Okay.
Sony's going to announce probably a week or two before E3. E3's going to be a games blowout.
Okay.
Sony is going to launch first, probably end of October.
Okay.
And Microsoft's going to launch at beginning of November. I do not see more than 3 weeks in between the launch of each of these consoles. Not a chance in hell.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense.
There's no way that Sony's going to fall behind a year again. You're going to let Microsoft have that year jump?
Oh, yeah.
Not a chance.
They can't.
No.
They really can't. So, okay.
All of Sony and Microsoft's first party, she's like, oh, what are you guys working on?
Right.
They won't say anything. So, right. Come on.
Right.
Let's just let the cat out of the bag now. Because this year, I think, is going to be the best E3 in over a decade.
Yeah, oh no, I totally agree. The quality of everything that's going to be presented to us is just going to be fucking amazing.
Because they know if they don't wow us at E3, we're not going to adopt their console that
year. Right. And what I think is really awesome is that there's so much shit that we don't even fucking know about.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited.
I know. I can't wait for... I just can't wait for studios to just come out of the blue and be like, oh, by the way, this is happening. Get stoked. What up? Like, I just... You know what I mean? I feel like there's that, like, every year at E3. There's always that studio that comes up. He's like, this is a game we're making. This is a game you want.
I know you want it. Oh, yeah, and it comes out in, like, a month.
Right, exactly.
Enjoy.
Right, right. Just, like, those short notice games.
Those are phenomenal. I really think that this year's E3, again, has the greatest potential to be one of the best E3s ever. And you know what? I think they have to live up to it. They absolutely have to.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good.
Because, you know, with gaming, people got to get their money's worth. And, you know, I want to go off on a little tangent here for a second. Maximum cost for the next generation console. Josh, go.
Max cost
for buying a system brand new at your local mom and pop shop or GameStop or Best Buy or Target or Walmart or
maximum
out the door, like not with tax.
Okay,
like you walk into a store.
What are they going to
say? I have the Xbox Next Box.
They're going to
PlayStation 4.
They're going to sell it for $400.
Good man. Yeah.
They're going to sell.
Yeah, it's going to be $400. Because there's no way they're going to get... Let Sony is going to have a $600 system, because they did not sell anything.
No.
That first year it was at that price.
That was a dumbass fucking price.
But you got so much for that.
Like, I know you got so much for it, but fuck it.
PS3 is a great console, but it's not worth $600.
No. It's really not.
No.
The PS4, or the PS3, even at that time, wasn't even fucking worth as much as they were selling it for. Because you didn't have the games. You didn't have shit.
You had Resistance. And Uncharted.
Fuck that.
Whoa.
How much were they selling them for? $500? $450?
Low end, I think, was $500. High end was $6. I think they were 2 models.
Yeah, they were not fucking worth that.
No.
They were not in the least bit worth that.
Mm-mm. And I'm stuck in the internal debate right now. When I got to figure out in the next, you know, 8 or 9 months, which system do I buy at launch?
I really don't know. I'm not prepared to make that choice.
I don't know, because each system has so many good things.
I'm not prepared to make that choice.
So we'll find out. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I probably won't be prepared for that choice for long last time.
I'm going to have to do some massive pros and cons. And
yeah, that's for damn sure.
All right. This next story, it
warms my heart. Nice tie-in. We're going to be able to tie this in really nicely.
You know what, Josh? I'll let you take it then. Take the reins, Mr. Ty.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm saying tie-in is because this one's a little bit about a little some Zelda, a little some Wind Waker.
A quote-unquote next-gen Wind Waker.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know what that sound was.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, I mean, so Wind Waker's getting that HD feels.
And ooh, is it pretty.
Oh yeah, no, it looks fucking gorgeous.
Like, this is the way the game should have looked when it... The first time.
If there was no fucking way it could have been done.
I don't care. I'm looking at these screens right now, and I want to buy a Wii U for this.
Right. I mean, it looks absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. So, the reason why this ties in...
So, you need to dust off those Wii U's in August and pick this game up.
Yeah, I agree. But the reason why this ties in is because Matt over here just wrote an article...
Oh, I did. I totally did.
Yes, Matt just wrote an article for Velocity Gamer.
That's right.
.com.
On the importance of this HD remake.
Yes, and why
it needs to be successful.
Exactly.
So, in case you're too lazy to read it, and you just want to hear me talk about it, I'll talk at you for about 30 seconds. Basically, the way it's going to work is, Nintendo chose this because they know they could make money off of it, and they know that this would be an easier one to upgrade to HD because of the graphic style that they had. Now, if Nintendo sees profitability in remaking some of their older games, not only will you see newer Zeldas being remade, like Ocarina of Time, possibly in HD, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword get an HD res up, you could see games like Mario 64 getting redone.
Yeah. And
like the classics from the N64.
And okay, the thing that I think is great about this is because of just that. Because a lot of Nintendo's titles can now get brought back to life because we will be able to play the games that gave us those initial feelings when we were kids. And just have it look better, which is great. But
have it look better, play better.
Right. The one thing though that I kind of don't like about this is the fact that it gives Nintendo an excuse to just fucking re-release games they've already done.
Yeah, but is that really that bad of a thing right now? As we wait for the next, you know, Mario universe, whatever the hell they're
going to call it. I think it is a bad thing, because then Nintendo can just get away with doing that, and they won't have to focus on any new shit.
Yeah, but I think Nintendo knows that if they're going to be doing remakes, they have to be doing new stuff as well.
I hope
and
they know that.
And remakes can only... Like they said in their press conference when they announced the Wind Waker remake, this is to tide fans over until we can get out the next new Zelda game.
Right, and I hope that that's the case. I hope that's how they decide to use... This
use it responsibly.
Right, exactly. Like, do use it as that. Use it as that in between. It's like, here's a game you fucking loved, and then excuse me while I leave you with this so I can go make another game that hopefully you will love just as much.
Right, and we might see Zelda, like the real Zelda HD, like the new Zelda game at E3 this year.
Right, that you know.
And Mario Kart's been confirmed, Super Smash Bros. Has been confirmed, the new 3D Mario game has been confirmed.
Right. So that'll be cool. That'll be really cool.
This is, again, E3. This June
is going to
hide your kids, hide your wife.
Because we're giving all the news out here. I'm sorry I curtailed wherever you were going.
I didn't know where I was going to go with it. I was going to go with that song and I realized, shit, what's the next lyric?
Good. It's a good thing.
But so yeah, get excited.
Yeah, do it. I'm even excited. I don't even give a shit about Zelda, and I'm excited for this.
Because... So.
Is this the one that everybody... Is this the one that's that everyone's iffy on, or is that Majora's Mask? Because in the Zelda community, like, everyone loves Ocarina, everyone loves some game, and then everybody hates fucking one game. Or there's that division.
This one really has a crowd where it's 50-50. I mean, I know I like some diehard Zelda fan, and I love... Can I do some spoilers here, or should we avoid it?
Spoilers.
Spoilers for the next minute. At the end of the game, you know the main villain Ganondorf?
Yeah.
You like you're inside of a sunken Hyrule castle fighting on the roof of that.
Right.
You do a front flip and stab the Master Sword through his head and he turns to stone.
That's fucking cool.
It is the one of the greatest endings to a boss fight into Zelda ever.
Okay, my question though with this, end spoiler, for Ocarina of Time.
End spoilers!
For Ocarina of Time, because at the end of Ocarina of Time, that's when the timeline gets split, correct?
The timeline gets split, okay, this is all according to Nintendo Hyrule Historia. The timeline gets split three ways during Ocarina of Time.
Three ways.
Three ways. Okay.
Because one continues.
One continues as if as Young Link, as if nothing if Ganondorf never took over.
Yeah.
One continues as if he did take over in that universe, and then he was defeated.
Okay.
And then one continues as if Link died.
Oh.
Yeah, there are three different Zelda timelines all happening.
Okay. Because I knew that Ocarina was the one where they split those things up.
Yeah.
So Wind Waker is one, Majora's Mask is one.
Yeah, I
correct.
I don't have the history yet. I have to order mine. Still.
I mean, this Zelda timeline's so fucked. It's unbelievable.
It is, but it's so, I love it. I love it so. I do.
Yeah. But yeah. So that's enough about that. But it's cool. Get excited.
Check out the screens on IGN.com.
It really does look amazing.
You can even see one of the screens in my story at velocitygamer.com or on my IGN blog under LILLUCH88. That's enough of that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to my next story now. You know that Medal of Honor game that released this October?
No.
A lot of people did, and guess what? They were pissed because it sucked. It was so bad, IGN actually
I'm
gave
so
it...
I'm so happy with how that worked out. That was not planned in the least
No, that was spontaneous
that
right
was
there.
Straight up random.
So yeah, this game literally got a 4 out of 10 from IGN, and a lot of critical just... hatred towards it. It was a bad game.
Yeah,
I played it. I did not like
it. Yeah, it was awful.
So awful. EA. Oh, great! Another EA story. EA has pulled Medal of Honor out of the rotation. Now, what that means is it's not going to be made every other year.
Yeah.
So my best guess is they're going to shelve this title again for a few more years. Have a small team kind of working on it.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how do we want to present the story. What kind of game is it going to be now? What do we have to do to make this game
right
not suck?
Right. You know what I think is kind of awesome about all this?
What?
I think EA is learning that they can't...
just give a shit the whole time and call it...
No, I think that they're finally fucking realizing that... because they've dabbled their hands in a bunch of other games and a bunch of other companies, I think they're learning that people won't just buy your fucking game because it says EA on it. Because I know that's the way it works with EA in sports. Like, you don't give a shit about any other sports thing. Everything else is questionable. But when EA releases a sports game, you just buy it because you know it's the best. And I think EA is learning that they can't just fucking do that with any old thing.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Kind of. Because I know if you want...
Well, because, they got a shitload of backlash. EA really got blamed for a lot of the things that happened with the Mass Effect 3 bullshit, with the ending bullshit.
Yeah.
They got blamed a lot for their take, you know, in there. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, obviously they took a hit here.
Good.
Assassin's Creed, that's EA.
No, that's not EA.
That's not EA?
That's Ubisoft.
What am I thinking of? There's another heavy hitting game.
From EA? Battlefield, Medal of Honor. Not Call of Duty, not Saints Row, that's THQ.
This is gonna kill me.
I know.
This is gonna fucking kill me. There's another one.
Why don't we plan things that we're gonna say?
Because then the show wouldn't be funny.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
can you
describe
the game?
No. It's gone. It's gone.
Crysis? No. Oh. That game is awesome.
I don't know. I don't know. But
if it comes back,
we'll
just scream it out randomly.
Right, exactly. But I just really hope EA finally gets like their heads out of their ass. Was it Deus Ex? To EA?
No, that
Deus
was Ex? Square.
What the fuck am I thinking about anyway? We'll move on. But I just hope EA just gets their shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love the Medal of Honor games as a, you know, when I was growing up, and they have the potential to outclass a Call of Duty, but they just need to.
They just never executed.
Yeah. It was executed well on, like, the PS2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just with current gen, Medal of Honor has not been good.
That's the thing, though. Like, in that age, I feel like Medal of Honor was a big contender, because I felt like you had SOCOM. Like, for, like, the war games, you had SOCOM, you had Call of Duty, and you had Medal of Honor.
And Call of Duty was just a screaming teenager at the time.
Right, exactly. Call of Duty was poop.
It was Medal of Honor and SOCOM. And if you want a more tactical... You went with SOCOM or Rainbow Six.
Right, exactly. And that's when that started.
But if you want a first-person shoot, you went to Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's a shame that it's kind of ducked out. But, you know, fuck. Call of Duty has a monopoly right now.
You know, I will say this. We haven't really had a World War II game in a while. Maybe Medal of Honor should go back to what it knows.
Yeah. I think, you know what, that's actually...
If they did an awesome World War II game...
That would be great.
Holy cow.
That would be great.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd be alright with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I support that. Hey, EA, do it.
Stop.
Try to make me like you, because I don't.
Good luck, though.
Yeah.
Alright, so our next two stories really go hand in hand. Let me see if I can find everything on it. All right. So THQ, as we all know, went belly up.
Yeah.
Like a shaken fish.
Yeah.
So they had a bit of an auction. And people were like, oh, $1, $2, $3, $500,000, $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chump change, right? Right, Josh? We could have picked up one of these titles.
Totally. We pulled our life savings.
Hold on.
Yeah, I don't even have that. If you sold,
are we including stocks?
No, if we sold, I think everything we own, including our food.
Have you seen my fridge? I don't even have that much in
dude,
there,
dude.
I have like two
dude,
cases
so,
of Coke.
I'm so
a
there.
Thing of Mountain Dew
I'm
and
so
some
there.
Sweet tea and some butter. Oh, I have bread.
I have
and
marshmallow
peanut butter and jellies.
I have marshmallow mateys.
Marshmallow mateys.
It's like Lucky Charms ripoff, but it's fucking better than Lucky Charms, dude.
Bullshit.
Dude, it's cheap.
Bullshit.
No, dude, it's cheaper.
Where
and
do you get this mystery cereal from?
At your local Walmart. It's called Marshmallow Mateys.
Marshmallow Mateys.
And it's basically just like Lucky Charms,
okay.
Except your little things are anchors, and it's really cute.
Aww.
The marshmallows taste better, and the it's cheaper, and the bag is significantly bigger. It's like this.
You heard
it's
it
like
here
this big, man.
You heard it here first, folks.
Marshmallow ladies,
buy that shit.
Buy it. Okay.
Okay.
Pocket
so,
full of cereal.
Pocket full of mallows. Ah. First, you put the mallow on the gram. Samma? No. First, you roast the mallow, then you put it on the gram, then you put the chocolate on the gram.
Yes.
Childhood memories that he doesn't remember.
I don't. I did not
okay.
Watch that.
So we're going to give you a quick rundown of what's going on here.
Who's Babe Ruth?
Babe Ruth? Baby Ruth?
The Big Bambino! Okay, alright.
Why didn't they just knock on his door in the first place?
Pocket full of sand.
That
line.
James Earl Jones. Playing the blind guy.
Yeah.
Who knows exactly how to get a baseball from his evil dog. And
James Earl Jones would have a monster dog.
He would. Oh, man.
That's
Darth Vader and Mufasa.
Yeah.
Yeah, next time you watch Star Wars, just remember, that's Mufasa. Get that image out of your head.
And next time you watch Lion King, remember, that's Darth Vader.
Bring me the rebel leaders. Yes, Mufasa. All right, back to that pocket full of quarters news that we all love so much. So THQ went belly up, so here are their buyers. Sega has agreed to purchase Relic, the developer of Company Heroes 2 and Warhammer 40K Dawn of War. Koch Media, owner of Dead Island and publisher Deep Silver, purchased, get this, Saints Row developer Volition, as well as the publishing rights
to the
Metro franchise.
Okay, that's...
Now, that worries me, because does, you know, Deep Silver and their parent company Koch Media have the marketing strength to really heavily market Saints Row 4 and Metro 2033 when that comes out?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know how that would work.
I don't know either. I'm intrigued. So we'll find out, but I don't know if they have, you know, the pockets or the the backbone.
I mean, if it's Koch, like the Koch brothers or the Koch brothers, like Koch brothers are fucking like billionaires, and they aid a lot in political mumbo jumbo. They donate to political, I mean, primarily Republicans, but I mean they do
Republicans. we have a soundbite for you later in the show.
I mean, if it's the Koch brothers and they're getting in the video game industry, they're just whoring themselves out for more fucking money.
I don't think that's them, though.
Okay, I hope not. I really do.
We'll do some research that, you know, on the next episode.
Right.
Who's right? But I really hope that they can handle it, because I love the Saints Row games. I like GTA 5. I like GTA 4 better than Saints Row 3, but I like Saints Row because of one reason, and it's just absurd. The first mission, I skydived into like four different airplanes,
right?
And brought them all down.
Yeah, it's fucking. It really is. If you're in for the absurdity, it's a great experience. The one thing that I think they nail is the ragdoll effects, and I think the melee fighting.
Yeah,
I think they nailed that. But of course, it came out after GTA.
GTA 4.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan. I don't know. As a suburban raised, you know, middle class white guy, it's kind of hard for me to identify with Saints Row.
You're white.
What? Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Chappelle show.
Awesome. All right, okay.
So moving on, Crytek, who is actually developing Homefront 2, purchased the Homefront franchise for a stunning $500,000.
Which is fucking ridiculous. I mean, actually, no, it kind of makes sense.
They're gonna make all that back.
Yeah, but I think it's hilarious because Homefront sucked. Homefront sucked so hard.
It was profitable. It
sucked
though.
So hard.
Yeah, but do you think Crysis is gonna make Homefront 2 suck? I mean, Crytek. I'm sorry, not Crysis.
I don't know.
Do you think Crytek and the CryEngine 3?
I don't know, but Homefront sucked. It had a first level and it had a last level. And everything else in between wasn't even designed. Seriously! The first level's fucking great. Last level's fucking great. Whole plot, stupid as shit. And don't even get me started on their stupid fucking soundtrack that they released. They had a bunch of metal bands do, like, classic songs. And granted, there are a couple of good ones. Like, I Wrestled a Bear once did Muse's...
I love that. I Wrestled a Bear. Was it I Wrestled a Bear once, or I just wrestled... Or is it just
I Wrestled a Bear once, all spelt one word. And they have a female lead singer and screamer. I've seen them play live before.
Right.
They're fucking amazing.
Right.
As They Lay Dying did a song by Slayer. Periphery did one by Metallica. I mean, it was pretty. Ghost Inside did "Fortunate Son" by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Okay,
I mean, it was a cool idea. I really like the idea of it. I really like the fact that they got a bunch of metal bands to do the soundtrack. You know, it gets that foot in the door. However, they could have been better.
Yeah,
you know, they could have been better, but with Homefront 2, I'm excited. The idea of the original Homefront, I really liked the plot, like the basis for everything. It was just executed fucking horribly.
Yeah, it was. So hopefully the sequel will fix that.
Yeah,
actually, it was a good game.
Yeah, Take Two.
Well,
yeah, agreed to purchase Turtle Rock Studios
And their project codenamed Evolve,
which already sounds cool.
It does, and that's literally all we know about that game. Its codename is Evolve, and it'll evolve onto our screens soon, hopefully.
Boom,
boom, bad puns. And then finally, Ubisoft, surprise, surprise, has purchased South Park: The Stick of Truth.
Good.
As well as Assassin's Creed creator Patrice Desilets'
project
codenamed 1666.
Which is totally the next.
So, the next... It's not Assassin's Creed, actually. It's a completely new IP.
Really?
Really.
Okay, that
actually... So, here's the way... I'm going to steal from Ryan McCaffrey here on IGN. Because he said this so perfectly.
Okay.
And I got to give him props where he goes. So Patrice's like, okay, I'm in Assassin's Creed. I'm going to go and do my own thing now, because maybe I'm not getting along with the guys at Ubisoft. I don't know if his departure was on good terms, if he just left because he hated it. Who knows? He goes over to Turtle Rock and says, hey, I want to make this game. And they pick it up. They start developing. They're developing. And the publisher goes under. And then Ubisoft's like, hey, Patrice. We own you now. Welcome back.
Yeah.
And you know,
it fucking sucks.
Yeah, but so who funny. Knows? If he left on good terms and he just you know, he wanted to make that game and Ubisoft didn't want to do it at the time, but now they do. Maybe it's a good thing.
Right.
But if he wanted to leave Ubisoft and never look back, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, no, that fucking sucks.
So, Ryan McCaffrey, thank you for that idea. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm really excited for what they're going to do with Stick of Truth. Hope it's good.
Oh, God, I got to see it from Podcast Unlocked and Mitch Dyer and Ryan McCaffrey again now. God damn it. Because South Park Stick of Truth has been delayed.
Right.
We don't know when.
Right, right.
That game could be a next-gen launch title.
Right.
And people won't complain. Because the graphical style of the game is just like the show, and it doesn't need to be ultra duper high res.
Yeah, I mean, there was
it looks perfect the way it is.
Yeah, there's a game on the Xbox Live Arcade. It's South Park Tower Defense.
South Park Let's Go Tower Defense game?
Yeah.
Tenement's Revenge.
I think it's Let's Go.
Let's Go Tower Defense.
I mean, me and my buddy Alex, we played the shit out of that game.
Right.
It's so much fun. I mean, we love tower defense games, period. I dig the shit out of tower defense. So
you would love Assassin's Creed Revelations. No, you wouldn't.
But yeah, I didn't. But I really liked the style because it was very true to South Park. And I think that that's what's cool with this. Even if it is next gen, they can make it a South Park style, but they can still employ the next gen elements, you know, in between all of that.
So I'm going to take Ryan and Mitch's idea here. Thank you again, guys. I do appreciate all that you do on the site and for letting me copy you blatantly. South Park is going to get delayed until fall.
Okay.
They'll probably add a few more levels to it, make it, you know, a little more depth, a little more girthier. What was that?
It was like a yawn.
Okay. And you know what? It's going to be a current gen and next gen launch title. They're going to release on the same day, and that'll be that.
And it'll be good.
It'll be great.
Okay. Okay.
And sadly, from the auction, Vigil, the creators of Darksiders, was not picked up until recently, kind of. Crytek stepped in and they bought let me get the story right here.
They bought Homefront, as we said.
So Crytek is opening up a new studio in Austin.
Okay.
And it's gonna be called Crytek Austin.
Okay.
Great name, right?
Or it's like Rockstar West or
Rockstar North or North, South, yeah, or whatever the heck you want to call it.
Yeah.
And they brought in 35 developers from Vigil Games. Now, whether this is just going to be for some QA for, you know, Homefront 2, or if they're going to start developing a brand new IP before they mass hire, who knows?
Who knows?
But we're glad that some people from Vigil did find work right away.
Yeah, it's good.
And still, God, a lot of our hearts are going out of us this week to these people who've been affected by layoffs.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So this next story is
It's kind of a big deal.
JJ. In case you haven't heard, J.J. Abrams is directing Star Wars Episode 7.
J.J. Abrams is directing.
Jaja Abrams
is directing Star Wars Episode 7, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it's happening.
It's so funny.
The guy who made you like Star Trek will make you love Star Wars.
We need to copyright that sentence. That was beautiful.
Oh my God.
I love you. Okay, but okay.
Expect a lot of lens flares.
Okay, reasons to be scared. It's the same guy who's doing Star Trek. End of list. That's it.
Reasons to be excited. It's the same guy who's doing Star Trek. And who did freaking Super 8. And who brought you the first season of Lost, which you all loved.
The first season everyone loved. Ignore that. I fucking hated Lost.
It's from the guy who is bending over the science fiction genre.
and giving it some sweet, sweet, tender loving. Honestly, I could not be more excited
about this.
I remember reading a story that Joss Whedon was approached to do Episode 7, but they could not do it.
Because he was already slated to do Avengers 2.
Exactly, and Avengers is supposedly going to come out, you know,
that same year.
Exactly. So that's,
oh my God.
Right, so that's kind of, I mean, that makes sense. So, if not Joss Whedon, I'm not saying J.J. Abrams is a second to Joss Whedon. I'm not saying that at all. Honestly, I just love J.J. Abrams' work. I mean, I think him as a director, he's going to make sure all the actors are in tip-top shape. So you're not going to have to deal with fucking Mannequin Skywalker, a.k.a. Hayden Christensen. You're not going to have to deal with any of that, any dead acting. I don't think he'll tolerate that.
No.
The presentation of Star Wars, I mean, we already know it's going to be fucking amazing because, at you know...
Disney's going to give him a blank check and say, make the movie.
Exactly. Because, honestly, this has to be good.
Yeah.
Because if Star Wars Episode 7 tanks, do you have any idea how much money Disney just lost? Like, not they not only lost the money that they paid... You know, Lucasfilm or whatever, mm-hmm. to get the rights to Star Wars.
$4 billion in cash, plus another $4 billion in, like, stocks.
Exactly. They're going to lose all their money that they're going to spend in advertising over the next three fucking years.
Yeah.
They're just going to lose so much. So, you know, they have to, like, absolutely, concretely make this be an amazing movie. And J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams is the man who's going to do that. Because honestly, the lens flare thing about Star Trek, barely even noticed it until you pointed it out. And even then, don't even fucking care because it sets
the realism.
Exactly. It sets the realism. It puts you literally right there. And the mood is just so fantastically represented mm-hmm. by things like that. It's just going to be so good.
Now, here's what makes me happy is that, all right, in November, J.J. said, I'm not doing Star Wars Episode 7. He was not being asked to do Star Wars Episode 7. After meeting with... Let me get her name here.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Who's like... She's queen bee.
She clearly pitched the story to him and what this movie's going to be. What the hell did we hear?
I know, exactly.
It's too daunting to, I've got to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Like... It just gets me all jazzed up. Like, I'm so excited.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, seriously.
So just, seriously, get excited, people. And guys. I saw a piece of fan art just for a little, like, poster.
Oh, is it the thing?
And it said, Return to a Galaxy Far, Far Away. You just see a lightsaber in the... And like, a field with a lightsaber. Oh my god, so good.
Hey, you guys. You guys
I'm going to make a prediction right now. Guys. Someone... Dave Weissen, I know you're listening to this. Write this down in your prediction category that you're going to now keep. Star Wars Episode 7 will have the highest grossing midnight premiere ever, the highest grossing weekend premiere ever, the highest grossing film ever.
Yeah.
Not only that, there was a fourth prediction in there. Film ever. Top week ever. It's going to break
every
record.
Yeah, I mean, how can it not? How
Oh wait. And it's going to be done in 3D.
I don't think so. I don't think it will.
It will. It'll have a 3D option.
As long as it has a 3D option.
Okay, that.
Because, I mean, Abrams didn't even want to do...
Star Trek 2 in 3D, but he was strong-armed into doing it.
Right, exactly. So if Disney strong-arms him into doing it, I still have faith that he will make our normal anti-3D experience...
The better one.
The better one.
The one you should see.
Right, the one you should actually see. And seriously, just it'll break everything. And you know what? I think if everything, you know, is all it's cracked up to be, I feel like this film's gonna get nominated for some good
awards.
I feel like it's about damn time for, you know, the sci-fi genre to
start kicking some ass.
Yeah,
and it's been doing it.
Yeah, exactly. We've been getting there.
Right, starting at 2006, 2007, right when things started going into high gear with special effects and what we could do with movies, it's just boom.
Exactly, and I feel like it's gonna be a worthy contender
because we can get that realistic take on a sci-fi franchise.
Exactly, and we're not gonna have bad actors.
No,
J.J. Abrams is not gonna waste his fucking time.
No,
seriously, like the budget on this thing is gonna be, you know, the sky's the limit for the budget, but for a timeline. I mean, who knows? They might start shooting, like,
end of next year. That, you know, they may push... They are willing to push the movie back if they have to, if that's what the production process calls for.
Right.
So that says to me, hey, we're going to make this the best movie that we can.
Yeah.
And we're not going to... We have a goal that we want to hit, but if we have to push it, we're going to make sure we deliver.
Oh, yeah.
Because by making this movie, we're making a promise to every Star Wars and sci-fi fan out there.
Right.
That this movie is going to be the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and this just... I mean, any worry that we had...
Gone.
Yeah, gone.
And the man made a Star Trek fan out of me.
Exactly, and I didn't give a shit about Star Trek...
Until I saw that movie.
Until I saw his... I mean, he doesn't really deserve all the credit.
No,
you know, because
his production house, the actors, his writers, everything.
Right, but I mean,
still,
he does.
You know what
great
I mean?
Work. He does great work. Mm-hmm. So,
So I'm excited, and oh,
yum. It's gonna be so tasty.
I just got a terrible image in my head right now. I'm gonna share it with you. It's him and Josh Whedon in a hotel room. They're both bending over sci-fi in general, and they're just high-fiving each other.
Totally. Totally.
Get that image out of your head.
Totally. They're like sharing a cigarette. They're Eiffel Tower. That's great.
That just happened. All
right. That's great.
So
okay, so
we got to go off on this guy a little.
Okay, wait. Sorry. Okay, stop talking for like 5
seconds. Let's go to guns. The one bill that seems to have, well, there's two bills that have some bipartisan support. One has to do with gun trafficking that your colleague, Republican Mark Kirk, has signed on to with New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand. But the other one is the universal background checks. And today, Wayne LaPierre is going to come out even against that bill too. Can you envision a way of supporting the universal background checks bill?
Chuck, I'm going to wait and see on all these bills. You know, I think video games is a bigger problem than guns, because video games affect people. But the First Amendment limits what we can do about video games. The Second Amendment to the Constitution limits what we can do about guns. So the details matter to me. I'm going to be skeptical of any of these proposals and examine them in light of the Second Amendment to the Constitution.
So we've got,
Magic of editing. You're not going to hear that 5-second break. You're going to hear something even better.
Yeah, okay, so okay, how do we start this?
I got this.
Okay.
So, violence in video games is a very prevalent topic in today because of the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, and everything that's going on right now with, you know, trying to rein in gun control and everything else. Video games and violence in media is being roped into this because it has an impact on people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I guess.
We can all agree that is the argument that is being portrayed right now. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, this motherfucker. What is his name? What is this
Tennessee
motherfucker?
Senator Lamar Alexander.
Okay, dude, fuck off.
Seriously.
That's my initial response. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will now approach this more professionally.
Okay, now that we've gotten that. Hold on, one more. Let me get this on my system. Okay. Who the fuck do you think you are? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Okay, so this guy...
Going back to the quote you just heard.
This guy... His defense... His defense here. He's saying, well, I think video games are worse than guns because video games affect people.
No, they affect people.
Okay, they
affect people.
They affect people.
Okay. It's different. It is different.
Okay, they affect people. Okay. So your argument here, you're trying to say that guns don't affect people at all. That's essentially what you're saying. And I, a sociology major, and any human being who thinks
guns don't affect people
is fucking stupid.
Very. I will say this. I've fired guns on TVs, and I've fired guns in real life.
There is no fucking comparison.
Do you know when I feel way more powerful? When I have even just a little 9mm pistol in my hands,
right.
I'm at a range doing it safely.
Right.
You can feel that power in your hands.
Right. Okay, but I had a conversation with my father about this.
Ooh.
And my father said that, okay, I actually read a fact to accompany this story. On average... the average child, when they get to about 14 years old, witnesses 11,000 murders through media. So, in video games, in movies, and TV shows, on the news, you experience, you know, some form of hearing about murder, or participating in murder, or being killed in video games, etc., etc., etc.
Okay.
You know, that sounds really daunting.
I think I've been through more by then, but
right.
I played a lot of GoldenEye as a kid.
Exactly. I mean, so, that sounds daunting. It sounds awful. But you've fired a weapon. I've fired an actual weapon. You know, we both fired actual weapons. There is no comparison between sitting in your room and clicking right trigger on a controller.
Now, don't get me wrong. I will say this. When I get, like... 4 or 5 headshot kill streak in a row in Call of Duty, I feel good about myself because that's difficult to do.
But
you don't get a power trip from it.
That's the thing. I didn't even get a power trip from firing an actual weapon. I was like, oh, so that's what firing a weapon's like. Now I know. Mm-hmm. And that was it. It was fun. It was recreational. Mm-hmm. And that was it. But, like, my dad's argument was that we get desensitized.
Okay.
Because all we do in video games nowadays is kill each other. You know, and all we hear about in the media are people dying.
Well, then the media should report on different things. Boom. Fox News.
Well, it's not even fucking that. Like,
I'm kidding. I just wanted to...
Right. I agree with your pun. I actually really appreciate that joke. But, like, we're not desensitized to a goddamn thing. Because if someone... Okay, like, if someone walked in here right now and took a gun to their head and blew their fucking brains out,
I'd freak the fuck out.
You'd cry? You'd freak out? You'd be in complete shock.
I don't think I'd cry because I would just be in shock. Exactly. I wouldn't know what to do.
Exactly. Like,
I think my body would call 911. I would speak some gibberish.
Right, and they would
show
up. And
they'd trace my phone call.
Right.
And they'd be here, and they'd be like, what the fuck happened?
Exactly. Like,
and I'd be like,
Exactly. Like, I'm sorry, any scientist who has ever tried to back up that we actually get desensitized by playing video games is a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, there's no possible way, like, real-life violence, you know, the way that the human body, that we as video gamers respond to real-life violence, is affected by the violence we commit, you know, in video games. Because honestly, like, that's honestly like saying you play a lot of boxing games. So you punch people and you punch people and you punch people, and you're really, really good at fight night. So when you get into an actual fight, you're more likely to actually hit someone. That's bullshit. Because
that's some shenanigans.
Exactly. Because essentially what the media is saying is that video games are responsible for training kids to become killers and to want to become killers. That's essentially what they're saying. They're blaming the violence in video games for that. And I mean, if you're going to take it at that value, you have to make it, okay, so if I play a lot of Madden, I'm instantly going to be better at football. If I play Fight Night, I'm instantly going to become a better boxer.
If I play the UFC video games, I can go kick Chuck Testa's ass or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't fucking work like that, exactly. And then what they're more so trying to say is that video games affect people. So you're telling me, you know, watching the news doesn't affect people. You're mm-hmm. telling me your daily, you know, cartoons doesn't affect people. You're telling me the newspaper doesn't affect people. You're telling me that interactions with people on the fucking street doesn't affect people. You're telling me your morning fucking cereal box doesn't affect you. Like, everything in your life
has an effect on you.
Exactly.
Positive or negative or neutral, there's an effect.
Exactly. So I just feel like a statement like that should instantly just be fucking thrown away.
It should.
This dumbass, I'm sorry, anybody who's backing the whole NRA, like, video games are worse thing, fuck off. Anybody who is pro-gun, good for you. I support your right to own a gun. I don't like guns. I don't think there's any reason for us to really own one unless you're in a bad neighborhood or whatever. It's purely conditional.
Mm-hmm.
Purely conditional.
I'll chime in a second.
Purely conditional, in my opinion. However, if you really are just gonna, if you're just, you just want to pass the buck on the video games just because you're tired of people blaming your fucking group, like, seriously, fuck off. You have an equal part in everything. We mm-hmm. all do. We all do. No doubt that kid was probably bullied, you know, because he had fucking mental issues. And,
right.
And fucking at the end of the day, to sum this up, mental illness.
That's what this discussion is. It should be about.
Exactly. Why the fuck are we blaming guns? Why the fuck are we blaming video games? Why the fuck are we blaming anything else?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be like, okay, we should turn our attention towards researching mental illness, and we need to study the brains of the Columbine killers. We need to study the brains of teen shooters. We need to find whatever it is in the brain, whatever, be it brain activity, be it chemical imbalances, mm-hmm. be it whatever. We need to find some kind of something. Because right. there is no evidence, period, that suggests that video games or any kind of media causes, being the key term here, causes behavior.
Right.
We are all influenced by a million different things each and every day, mm-hmm. but not one of them causes us to do something.
Right.
at the end of the day, we always have choices. It is always, we are always doing something of our own free will.
As long as we're at 100% of our own mental capacity.
Exactly.
Now, okay. I kind of want to go against you for a second.
Please.
Video games are violent. I will say that. There's no getting around it.
Oh, totally.
I do think that there is a select group of people out there that they do have a stronger impact on than the standard 99.99% of people that play them.
I agree.
Because, again, that goes back to the mental illness thing. Maybe there is a chemical imbalance. Maybe there's something wrong that the doctors have missed, the parents have missed.
There was a screw loose in the first place.
Exactly. I wouldn't even call it a screw loose. Maybe that just something even so minuscule, and seeing that is the first peg.
Right.
But it's only the first peg. It's right. Not the giant 1,000-pound weight that comes crashing down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's just... Keep going.
The people who are committing these horrendous acts are clearly mentally unstable human beings.
For anyone to claim that this kid was ever... For anyone to claim that this kid was sane when he was doing this is ridiculous.
Come on.
That's like saying
the guy who... I want to get this story right here. I'm sorry if I butcher this.
Okay.
Is it Lennon who shot Lennon and blamed The Catcher in the Rye for that book telling him to do it?
Oh, no. It's fucking...
I'm sorry. This is a 50-year-old news story, and I barely remember it. Who did he shoot? Ringo?
Ringo's still alive, dumbass. John Lennon was killed.
God, I don't... Fuck, man. I don't remember who he killed.
I don't remember. My mom, if you listen to this, I'm sorry for not remembering. My mom's
going to kill me.
My mom always talks about this when I was little. Always. Every time John Lennon's birthday comes up, she'd be like, "Do you know who killed him?" I'd be like,
"Yeah, I don't remember the guy's name."
Mark David Chapman.
Thank you. Josh, take a shot for the drinking game.
Okay, so...
So anyway, back to where I was. Now, guns, I think they do have a place in our society because you can use them for self-defense if you use them appropriately.
You can use them for recreation, hunting...
Hunting, even going shooting at a range, you know, with people who are trained and are using them responsibly. It's a good. It can be a really fun time.
Yeah,
I mean, I've shot pistols before, and it's really fun.
Right.
But to keep the blowback on video games, especially video games, more so than guns, having an effect on people. No, that's a bad kidding.
The issue with guns is accessibility. That's where people are going, fuck guns because of the accessibility issue.
We may never be able to say, okay, you can't own an assault rifle, but what we need to do is put more screens up.
Right.
And I don't want to go into this topic too much because we are trying to get a podcast together about violence in media and everything that needs to be done about that. So I want to stay on the surface of this.
Right.
But stop pointing the blame at the video game industry and the developers and the people who are playing these games.
Right.
Because for every one person that snaps who played Call of Duty, there's about, what?
A billion or two
who didn't.
Exactly. And that's the stuff that's being ignored.
And the question you have to ask yourself is, would this person still have done it? With shooting in Colorado, Columbine, when we had like GoldenEye and Doom, or right. even the newest Connecticut right. shooting... Would this have happened if they didn't even play any violent video games? Probably. Because I'm gonna quote Scrubs here. People are bastard-coded bastards with bastard filling. We're in it. Most people can be dicks. It happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes that affects people more.
Yeah.
And that can be an underlying cause. Maybe it's not video games.
Yeah. Honestly,
maybe it's just some people are inherently bad to others.
Yeah,
because I know I've had my moments where I've been a dick to someone I barely knew.
Yeah,
it's called being stereotypical, and not wanting to get picked on that day by the jocks, so you try to fit in.
Yeah,
it's called high school.
Yeah, I mean we as human beings have a lot of defense mechanisms that lead us to becoming violent, be it verbal or physical or whatever.
But to take it to that scale is more than a defense mechanism.
Yeah, there's so much.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, there's so much. And again, we're going to get into like incredible detail. We're going to do a podcast probably in the next week or so. We
keep pushing it back because people are so busy. And
exactly. And we want to get a lot of input from other people. And we're gonna cite studies. We're gonna look at specific examples. you know, recent examples, past examples.
Right. We want to make sure we get it right.
Exactly. We're really going to do this conversation completely, you know, as full out as we possibly can. But yeah, we just feel like we had to talk about this because a senator is the one who's saying it.
And you know what?
And I think that's scary.
The worst part is that a lot of senators and elected officials are saying gamers and their developers do not have a credible say in this argument. And this argument directly affects us. You can't have this be a one-sided argument. I'm sorry. That's not how the world works.
Yeah, and I don't understand how they have any right to even point any fingers. Because their generation isn't even... Their generation hasn't played our games. They have right. They have no idea. Like, it's like when Mass Effect 2 had the sex scene. That's all. I mean, I remember Fox News or whatever, dude. They did a big fucking blowout, you know, conversation on the news because they were like, sex in video games. This game's all about sex. It's all about violence and sex. It's like, excuse me, this story.
Did you play the game?
Yeah, excuse me. This story is incredible. If you just read the story, it's fantastic.
I mean, that's like someone saying, actually, this is a true story. I was in the car on my way to high school one day, and my neighbor who drove me was listening to a Christian station, and Beowulf had just came out. And the guy was going to give a review for Beowulf. I'm like, oh, I'm excited to hear their take on it. Because, you know, it's, you know, medieval war dating way back.
Right.
And he said, I refuse to review this movie because it just looks so violent and perverse. That is my review.
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly.
The same principle applies. Is you can't just clump all...
Right.
Just because one game has a sex scene in it that wasn't very graphic at all.
Yeah, no, it was extremely
I could see more graphic things, you know,
extremely
on NBC at 9 o'clock at night.
Right! Like, what the fuck is with that? The fuck is with that? You want to get rid of violent video games? Take off Law and Order. Take Law and Order off the air. Take Criminal Minds off the air. Take Family Guy off the air. Take every show
successful show.
Take every show that's ever done well ever.
And just take it off the air.
Yeah.
Get rid of movies. Get rid of Star Wars.
Post Happy Days. You know what? Not even post Happy Days, because MASH fucking took place during war.
Yep. Military Hospital. Get rid of that show. Get rid of Cheers. It involved drinking, and drinking leads to really bad things sometimes. Just get rid of TV and newspapers. Oh, and media and Fox News.
You see, this is... Do you see how stupid this argument is that we're saying? It's getting that stupid. And I just really hope that soon it's going to get to a point where we actually start talking about it and we actually start discussing what needs to be done rather than pointing fingers and shouting out ridiculous things because we're not going to solve shit.
No. If we keep going on the course, we are going... Nothing's going to get solved. Nothing's going to get better. Nothing's going to get fixed. Yeah. And that is a shame because I'd love to see, you know, a reason as to... I wish we could say that maybe there's a reason for the shootings in Connecticut or in Colorado. We're never going to know because the Connecticut guy died. The Colorado shooting guy, he's insane.
Right.
But maybe, let's just go with the easy answer. Maybe they're just inherently bad people.
Yeah.
The simpler answer? Yeah, they're just sociopaths?
Yeah.
And I might get flagged for that statement, but I don't care. It's the truth. These guys had to have been sociopaths.
There's loads and loads and loads of theories. And right now, the prevailing theory, born out of ignorance, is that video games are the root of all evil right now. And it's just a really poorly developed theory that has only a reactive basis to events.
Yeah.
Not an actual anything. So.
So yeah, that's the news. We're gonna end that conversation.
So that's pocket full of depressing medication.
Pocket full of Xanax. Woo! This is the part of the show where we do mail time. We have no mail.
We have none.
That is the mail time section.
Yeah, we have zero mail, and I blame you.
Hold on.
How many days?
One, two. For like the 13th week in a row.
Okay, sweet. I love this game.
I love mail time. It was so quick.
Okay, so if you want to send us your opinions
We will read them on the air. As long as, you know, keep them respectful, at least.
I mean,
if you send us a opinion saying you guys suck and you can all go fuck yourselves,
we'll read it. We'll read it.
If that's the only piece of mail we get that week, we might have to.
Yeah. If you have any opinions on anything, doesn't have to be about violence in video games, even though if you would like to contribute to that conversation, you should. I implore you.
I mean, all 12 of you listening to this, come on.
I mean, seriously. Like,
we know there are at least 12. Well,
yeah, there are at least 12.
Hold on.
There are at least
12. I might be one of those. I think I'm on automatic subscribe on iTunes.
Yeah, so 10.
Are you on automatic subscribe?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Woo! Double digits.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, just email us at mattandjoshpodcast@yahoo.com. That's mattandjoshpodcast@yahoo.
That's yahoo.
Yahoo! Exactly.
.com.
We have a Facebook under the name Pocket Full of Quarters.
Pocket Full of Quarters. Got it. Follow us on Twitter. I am GamerGuru91.
Spelled how it sounds. I am Joshua X Man.
Feel free to follow me, my blogs on IGN.com. My username is LILLUCH, and then the number is 88. So LILLUCH 88. Follow me, you know. Put stuff in my comments. I don't care. I post everything on my Facebook page as well, and most everything on the Pocketful of Quarters page.
Exactly.
At least I'll start doing that.
Exactly. Be friends with us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Joshua McKenney.
I'm Matthew Lucchetti.
Exactly. Like,
we're sociable people, you know?
Yeah.
We're not just going to tell you to go fuck yourselves.
Exactly.
Unless you tell us to go fuck ourselves.
In which case...
We'll tell you to go.
I'll videotape it.
Yeah. Pause. You'll videotape you them saying go fuck yourself. You'll videotape you saying go fuck yourself.
I'll videotape me fucking myself. That's the joke I was.
Yeah, but no one wants to watch a 2-second video.
High five. That burned. Okay. We're gonna end this so I can go get some ice.
Do you want some sauce for that chip on your shoulder? All right, ladies and. Lady and probably Dave listening to this podcast. Thank you for listening to Pocketful of Quarters episode 7.
Yes, thank you very much. We need to come up with a title for this episode. We haven't come up for the title. We usually say the title at some point.
We usually do.
I don't know.
Why you got to bring me down? Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me.
That's not what he says in the episode. You didn't know that.
I don't.
We can make it don't tread on me because it doesn't make any sense.
What does he say in the episode? I forget.
He just says don't bring me down. Music and lyrics for Stevie.
Don't bring me down. Don't bring me down.
Yeah.
Don't bring me down. Title, don't bring me down.
Okay.
This is Pocketful of Quarters episode 7. Don't bring me down. I'm Josh. I'm Matt Lucchetti.
And I'm Josh McKenney.
Thank you for listening. And as always, have a good day.
Shit, it's not stopping.
Why isn't it stopping?
Oh my God, she's so hot. Look at that, she can fit that whole bottle in her mouth. All right, come on, Stewie, you can write a song. How hard can it be? You got your G chord right here. It's like your cozy house where you live. That's where you start your journey. Here I am in my house, nice and cozy. And then you poke your head out the door with a C chord. Everything looks okay out here. Maybe I'll take a walk outside. To the D chord. Oh, walking around outside. Look at all the stuff out here. And then we go to an A minor. Getting a little cloudy out here. Looking like we might have some weather. Then we go to E minor. Oh, definitely got some weather. Things are a little more complicated than they seemed at first. And then we go back to my house.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Then Brian comes in and I change up the tempo. Brian comes in and he changes the song. Looking at me like he thinks I'm a douchebag. But he's gonna learn pretty fast that he's wrong. Hey Brian, why are you bringing me down, man? Why are you bringing me down?
Don't bring me down!
Music and lyrics by Stewie Griffin.